Hey, good morning. See, I don't make you yell it at me like Chris does, but let's open our Bibles, 1 James chapter 1, James chapter 1, let's read verses 9 through 11. Again, just a little bit of review. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls, its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. You know, what are the important things in life? You know, that's what we talked about last week. You know, what really matters? And I think the big question is in whose eyes does it matter? Is it the eyes of the world, or is it what God sees, what God thinks? That's, you know, there's a very big difference there. You know, the world says what matters most is money, status. God says what matters most is very different than that. It's those who have a heart for Him. And we're going to see that thought follows on into the next thing that we're going to look at. But here he's showing us, and it's so very, very true, that God sees things differently we do. God's ways are higher than our ways. He says in Isaiah, you know, just as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how the difference is, how big the difference is between God's ways and our ways. And they're just so much higher. He sees it all so differently. And he reminds us here, the stuff of this world and the positions in this world, they're going to all fade away. They're just going to, you know, fall and fade. And the only thing that lasts is what God does and God's Word. And so for us to be content with where we are, because it's not as important as the world tells us that it is. And I want to put up on the screen this verse in Psalm 16, because it's been a powerful witness in my life. The psalmist says, "Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure, and the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, and surely I have a delightful inheritance." That's got nothing to do with money and status. It's got to do with being content with where God has you. And you know, whether it's a lot or a little, Paul, you know, he talked about learning how to be content, whatever the circumstances, in Philippians chapter 4. Are you content with where you are? I think if you saw things the way God sees them, you would say, "Wow, this is where God has me. This is what God wants to do. This is what God is doing in my life right here and right now." We're going to look at verse 12 today. You know, it's kind of amazing. You know, we were looking at chapters at a time, and now we're looking at one verse at a time, and I can't get it all in, because there's so much in just one verse. Sometimes when you need to hear from God, well, sometimes you need just one verse, and you need to like look at it and think about it and meditate on it and take it in and say, "What is God saying?" Because there is so much there. Let's read the verse there. "Blessed is the man who perseveres, man and woman, who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." This is really kind of a beatitude. You know what a beatitude is? Like a blessing. And when I think about this, and just looking at the first word here, you know, and I think about it, you know, blessed. We all want to be blessed. You know, we use that word, like, "I want to be blessed." And what does it mean to be blessed? Again, like what I was referring to earlier in these previous verses. You know, we got this impression that if we have a lot, we are just so blessed. But if you don't have a lot, well, you're not very blessed. Is that the way God sees it? Is that what God says? How does He see it? You know, I hear this, and you know, God is just blessing me so much. Well, I want to know, what are you saying? What does that mean? How is he blessing you? Well, I just hit the lottery. No. It's so very different. The word here is makarios, and it really, the definition really is blessed and happy, but it's not just happy like we think. One translation puts it like this: spiritually prosperous. Even the secular Greek of that day, they would define that word like this: the transcendent happiness of a life beyond care, labor, and death. So it was a lot more than just what you knew and faced and felt here, this idea of being blessed. The NIV Study Bible defines it as, the word means much more than happy, because happiness is an emotion often dependent on outward circumstances. Blessed here refers to the ultimate well-being and distinctive spiritual joy of those who share in the salvation of the kingdom of God. There's something very different. When the Bible talks about it, we have to understand, well, when the Bible says it, when the Bible uses that word, what does it mean? What is it talking about? How is it defined? And this is what we're looking at today. You know, if you would look and just do a simple word search in your blue letter Bible, just for the word bless, you'd be amazed. And I've got some of them. I'm just going to quote to you some of them. I've got a list for you here, and this is just some. So we say, who are the blessed ones? What does the Bible say about being blessed? Psalm 84, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Verse 12, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Not the one that has the big fancy this or big fancy that. It's the one who find their strength and hope and help in the Lord. How about Psalm 94, verse 12, blessed, oh, how happy is the one you discipline, the one you teach from your law. There's something to say about that, that God is blessing you. Why? Because he's disciplining you, and maybe you're in a very rough period of time where God is trying to get your attention. Well, the Bible says you are blessed. Psalm 112 says, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Psalm 119, verse 2, blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. You want to be blessed by God? You want to be blessed in this life? It's not about getting that promotion. It's not about getting the raise. It's not about some of the things the world tells us that this is how you get blessed. It's about seeking him with all of our heart. Verse 15, Psalm 144, blessed is the people of whom this is true. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. That's the blessing. That's the blessed life. 146, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. You see what I'm saying here? You kind of get the idea what I'm talking about here? I'm just so blessed. Well, what does that mean? Can we turn these fans on, please? It's kind of warm in here. I'm just getting worked up here, that's all. Bottom right breaker there. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Because this is the passage Jesus was on the sermon, speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, right? And this little section here is called the Beatitudes, right? And why is it? Because those are the blessings that Jesus talked about. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 3. These are what are we call the Beatitudes and the blessings. And we think, well, you know, I'm blessed if. Well, what is the first thing he says here in verse 3? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This isn't the way we think. This is what God is saying. Why? Because we realize that we have nothing without him. That's where the blessings are. He goes on to say, blessed are those who mourn. Happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. They'll find comfort. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that very different? This is what we're talking about here when we talk about being blessed. Jesus, you know, he said that it's more blessed to give than to receive. We think, I'm blessed when I receive a lot. Acts chapter 20 is more blessed to give than to receive. When Jesus was talking to Thomas, right? What did he say? He said, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You want to be blessed? Well, believe and trust in Jesus. That's where it all gets down to. That's where it all funnels to, following after Jesus. Revelation chapter 1, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. And in the last chapter, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Washed how? Washed by the blood of the Lamb, who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, been given their lives to Him and following after Him. You want to know what being blessed is? You know, it's not what the world says. It's very different than that. Some of you have been sitting there thinking, you know, I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent. I don't know how I'm going to do this or that. And I wish God would bless me. But perhaps He has already blessed you in ways that you never even thought about. So going back to James now, again, it's the blessings that he's talking about here in James chapter 1 in verse 12. He said, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. This is where the blessing is. It's in perseverance, but it's in trials. It comes out of trials. I would think, blessed is a man who has no trials. That's what I would say. And you probably would agree with me, right? I'm so blessed I haven't had a trial for like 10 minutes. I'm so blessed. But he's saying something very different, isn't he? Blessed is a man who perseveres through the trials, in the trials, under the trials. But I thought the blessings were like health and wealth. I thought the blessings were like practical stuff. But James is telling us here, blessed are those who don't give up, who don't quit, who get to the other side. And he talks about it like three times in this book. In chapter 5, he says this, we count as blessed those who have persevered. He said, you've heard of Job's perseverance and seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Job went through an incredible trial, but he was blessed through the trial. He persevered. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. Now, he had a pretty hard time of it. Blessed are those who persevere under trials. We already saw it. Patrick talked about it. I talked about it. This persevering, the trials come. They test our faith to see what, you know, if our faith is genuine, if it's real. And, you know, but through it, we develop this perseverance. Maybe the first time we quit, we gave up too soon. Maybe the second time we held on a little bit longer. But through these trials, we learn, we grow, and we begin to be more people who stick it out. Don't give up. Don't quit. When is it too soon to quit?
You've heard that phrase, right? Now, I'm not talking about sometimes we need to just, you know, let go of something. It's just, it's time. But in the trials that we face, you know, we just need to, we need to hold on and keep going and get to the other side. He said in the earlier verses, he says there that perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You get to the end and God provides. The fruit is at the end. How many of us have given up too soon? We never got to the fruit because we gave up. We quit. He says, but when he stood the test, he's going to receive the crown of life. When he stood the test, not before the test, right? But after. When he's proven through the trials, proven to be genuine, proven to have faith and trust, you know, it's working out. And he says he's going to receive the crown of life. He said earlier, you know, that if we're doubting and we're not trusting, he says, don't think you're going to receive anything from the Lord. And now he's saying, as we persevere, as we continue, we trust, we get to the other side, we're going to receive the crown of life. God is going to give it to us, this crown that he's promised. Now, this wasn't the, you know, crown of gold that, you know, that the ruler, the king would put on his head. You've seen the crown that the King of England has. It's a crown of victory is what it is. But this particular crown, he says it's the crown of life. There's something about it. When he talks about here, it's not so much a physical thing that gets put on our heads. It's life itself. It includes eternal life. Yes, it does. But I think it's not just future. I think it's even here and now. Life itself, one commentator called it. One other person called it, he said that the crown is life. This may be the best life as a believer that you have ever had. I can honestly say that. I didn't have a life before. But it wasn't because I got this or I got that. It's because of walking with the Lord. This is the life. Jesus said it in John 10, the thief comes to kill and to destroy and to steal. And he said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly to the full. This is what he promised to you and to me. Sometimes we think, you know, my life, you know, it's not until I get to heaven, you know, I can't really live. It's just not going to happen for me here now. But I think, according to what Jesus said, and his half-brother James is saying here, that he's giving to us, even through trials, this idea that this is the life. This is life. But we don't see it that way. When we're in the middle of a trial, what do you say? I wish my life was over. I wish I wasn't here. I wish I was in heaven. But he says, I'm doing something with you now. I'm working in your life right now, in the middle of this. We need to remind ourselves of that in this persevering, that this is the life that he has for us, this full life. It's a very full life that he wants to give to you and to me, a very full life. The crown of life. Are there other crowns? The Bible talks about some other crowns. There are other crowns. Paul got to the end of his life, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, his swan song, the last thing he wrote. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. He persevered. I kept going. He says, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. The crown of righteousness that he's going to give to us as we, again, because we have persevered. Peter talks about it. He says that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. never fade away. Paul talking about following after the Lord in 1 Corinthians 9, he said that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. This crown that He gives to us will last forever. We have the crown of life. We have the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, and this crown that will last forever. But he's making a point in those verses. Well, you know, there's something about the way we live here now. We need to be in strict training. We can't just do anything and everything that the world has to offer. We need to limit ourselves to the things that God has for us. Revelation chapter 4 says that the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne. In the end, anything that He's given to us is all belongs to Him. We all cast it on the ground before Him, before the throne of God. Trials, don't you just love them? Well, what does He say here? He says the crown of life is promised to those who love Him. To those who love Him. And the word there is a present active participle, meaning it's who are loving Him. You see, it's this ongoing relationship. It's not something that happened to me back in 1976. It's an ongoing loving relationship between me and the Lord, between you and the Lord. To those who love Him, those who hang on, those who trust Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this, as it is written, he's quoting an Old Testament prophet, he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who, what? Who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. And for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So God has opened our eyes to see some of these things that He has for us. To those of us who have surrendered and we realize that He loves us and we love Him in return. We love Him, why? Because He first loved us, right? We didn't wake up one day and we said, oh, I just love God so much. No, we found out that He loved us and we responded to that and said, "What more can I do but give You my life and love You in return?" Some of you men are saying, well, I can't say that I love God. That's not very masculine. Oh, yeah, it is. It's, you know, what's the most important thing to in all the world, but to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another. To admit, you know what, I love God. I love God with all my heart. This is where the blessings are, folks. This is, as we get back to the first word of this verse, this is where it all comes together as we love Him, as we follow Him, as we hold on to Him, as we serve Him, as we do everything that we can do to follow after Him. The things that He has prepared for us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8, he said, whoever loves God is known by God. Say, you know, it's not just going to church, is it? It's not just because you come here. It's because you love Him. And He knows if you love Him or you don't love Him. He knows if you're just coming to hang out with some people because they accept you, and I think that you should accept people. And I think that you should come because people accept you. I think this is part of being the family, right? Part of being the family of God. This is how we express that love that God has given to us, by loving one another. Look at chapter 2 of James, verse 5. Again, I told you he mentions it three times. This concept of things being so different. Verse 5, he said, "Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom that he promised those who love him?" This is the way God sees it. Jesus said to Peter, right? Peter was pretty much a manly man, right? Fisherman type, quahogger type, right? And what did he say to him? He said, "Peter, do you love me?" Three times. He used some different words in there, different Greek words, but he's still asking the same question three times. Do you love me? And Peter's going, "Yeah, you know I do, you know I do." And what does he tell him to do? He says, "Take care of my sheep, feed my sheep, take care of my flock." But I think he asks us the same question today. Do you love me? Do you really love me? Have you given it all up for me? Are you still searching for what the world has to offer? Are you ready to say, you know, what really matters in this life, in this world? Do you love me? It's a big question, isn't it? So let's read the verse one more time and we'll close. "Blessed is the man or woman who perseveres under trial, because when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." You see, he keeps his promises, doesn't he? That's what he's promised to us. Hold on to that. Memorize this verse. You're in the middle of a trial. Look at this verse and say, "God, what are you doing in my life?" And ask him for the strength to hold on, to persevere, to get to the end, to not quit. Don't give up. He'll give you the strength to get through. He's promised to be the strength of our lives. Let's pray together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and how deep it is. I pray that you would help us to take it in, to memorize, to meditate, to understand what it really means to be blessed by you, what it really means to know you and to love you. Father, we're just human. Your word tells us, you know, that we're just dust. We're just really dirt. But you have a plan and a purpose for us, and you want to do something incredible. I can testify you have already done incredible things in my life, as I mentioned earlier, just from where I came from, where I grew up. Yet you've turned my life around. And yes, I still face trials, Lord, but you see me through them. Over and over again. I wish there was no trials sometimes, Lord, but you have a purpose and a plan. You have life for us, a crown of life, a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory, a crown that will never, ever pass away. We bring those crowns, not literally, but figuratively, we lay them before your feet, Lord, before your throne. You're the Almighty, the awesome God. Thank you for today, Lord. Give your people strength. And Jesus, I know that it all comes through you, and I know there are people who might be listening to this today, one way here or online, that have never surrendered to you, Jesus. Today is a good day to say, "Jesus, I believe in you, and I know you are here and that you want to do something in my life. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead, and I accept you. I believe in you today, here, right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together and sing the last song, shall we?